Hmong stitching is some of the finest and smallest human hands can make. It's incredibly precise, and the tiny details can strain the eye. But such needlework won't be easy to find any longer. After 17 years in business, Corrine Pearson finally closed her Hmong handwork store in St. Paul. Before locking the doors, Pearson worked her way down a list of Hmong women whose work she sold.
And I'm wondering if some of the things that you've had here that have been here for a long time, if you want to lower the price, we're going to have...
Since 1981, Pearson has sold, on consignment, the work of Hmong women who resettled in the United States after leaving refugee camps in Thailand, and those who stayed behind. Several years ago, the last of the refugee camps closed, and so did the main pipeline bringing Hmong needlework to the U.S. from overseas. Here, Hmong women's lives have changed a lot since they first arrived. Pearson says the older Hmong women, those in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, complain of poor eyesight. The women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s don't have the time. And Pearson says the youngest women and girls aren't learning how to sew.
I mean, they're here, they're in America, they need dollars per hour, they need jobs, they need income, they need employment. And this kind of work doesn't provide any kind of reliable income. It doesn't provide anywhere near enough money, because it all depends on whether a piece was sold. And there are not enough hours in the day or the week or the month to sew enough, even if everything was sold, to make money to live on.
In Hmong villages in Laos, a woman hand-stitched her family's garments for daily work and ceremonial occasions. She bought black cloth and colored thread from Chinese vendors traveling through the mountains. She also grew and processed hemp for skirts. The clothes were then embellished with embroidery and appliqué work. The hand sewing was a matter of survival and highly valued. A woman's ability to sew often determined how she fared in finding a husband. Masami Suga, with the Refugee Studies Center at the University of Minnesota, has conducted oral history projects with Hmong sewers. Suga says the Hmong tradition had women teaching girls to sew as early as 4 or 5 years old. She says they started with a very small piece of cloth,
you know, barely larger than the size of their hand, and they'll learn basic cross-stitching, they'll learn the combination of certain colors, they'll learn different types of different patterns, and eventually by the time they are somewhere between, you know, 10 to 15 years old or so, the girls knew how to not only do needlework, but also able to complete and sew an entire ensemble.
Years later, in refugee camps, aid workers suggested the women transfer their skills to making flat pieces that could hang on walls or cover pillows. At the same time, the well-known story cloths appeared. Each depicted a different Hmong experience: life in a village, the animals and plants in the jungle, or the escape from Laos across the Mekong River. Hmong story cloths are difficult to find, too, as women give up sewing. Ma Li, a woman in her 50s, is an exception.
Not many Hmong who are doing it. They're saying that why do you waste your time doing it? It takes like a month to make one. Well, you can go to work and make $5, $6 an hour. But for me, because I can't work and I don't have anywhere to go, I make it because when I get lonely, it makes me happy to do this. It brings me happiness.
Some Hmong students at Harding High School in St. Paul are getting ready for their Hmong language and culture class. This lesson is on Hmong sewing, one recent effort to preserve the craft.
Are these traditional Hmong colors or different? Do you know?
I don't really know, but I guess so, because I seen almost every elder that they've been using these colors for a long time, so I guess it must be traditional.
Student Chur Lee was born in Thailand, but has lived in the United States since he was 3 months old. Lee says as a young boy, he watched his mother and sister sewing at home, but like other Hmong boys, he didn't sew.
I didn't know anything about the Hmong traditional patterns, stuff like that, until I was in sixth grade and I started learning about the Hmong culture and stuff like that. Then I kind of realized that, oh, this is my culture, I should study it more.
Lee's pattern is four little squares on a piece of cloth the size of a bookmark. He's using pink and green with blue in the middle. He learned the pattern from one of the Hmong elders who teaches in the Hmong Textile Arts Project, funded by the University of Minnesota's Extension Service. The women elders earn $10 an hour for coming to the class a few times each week. Dua Lee has been sewing for over 30 years. She's got some samples of her work in a plastic bag. The thread's bright colors leap off the cloth.
The reason I come here is because I know that I have very good experience in doing this kind of stuff, and I know that I need to pass on to the Hmong, the younger generation, and I don't want this to disappear.
Dua says she's happy at the school while sharing her culture. It's a chance for her to get out of the house and to see the world Hmong children live in. Despite efforts like hers, the sewing tradition is still endangered, in America at least, as the Hmong become Hmong Americans and the tiny stitches fade into the past. I'm Lynette Nyman, Minnesota Public Radio. Oh.